Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
I'm Jennifer Copaz-Rose.
Listening to the midweek version of the Fiber Talk podcast that we do two times a week.
Yeah.
And we do it for needleworkers, too, because, you know, we're that kind of people. Yeah.
Yes.
Why not?
All the kinds of needleworkers.
Yeah. We're not picky. You know, whatever.
Yeah.
If you know how to thread a needle, we're here for you. Yes.
Yes.
So, Biscornu, last Wednesday, if you missed last Wednesday's show, where Jennifer showed us how to do a Biscornu.
Yes.
That was fun, and go look that up on the YouTube channel. Two things on that. Mm-hmm. You know, those little things look so complex. And when you showed how to do it, they aren't.
No, they're really not.
No, because you look at them and go, holy smokes, how would I ever get that shape sewed together and not look like some kindergartner did it? And then the other part, I was braced for, because you do it without a sewing machine. And so I was braced for some rather tricky needlework. Nope.
No, it's just straight stitching.
Yep. So that was just really cool. And I mean, it was the kind of thing, I've heard from several people that enjoyed it and said they'd always thought about doing one, but were afraid of it. And you eliminated the fear. So
nice. Well, glad to help, because they're really simple. I mean, after I did my first one, I was quite addicted. I've made quite a few. Made a lot, and I know my mom has one or two that I gave to her for gifts. And
well, that's the thing is they're an excellent little needlework gift.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's,
and they're fast.
Yeah, because depending on the pattern you stitch, but a lot of those patterns aren't all that complex. So,
right.
Yeah.
Well, also, I mean, some of mine, because you know I quilt too, some of mine I just had extra little. Sometimes when you quilt, you sew a bunch of strips together and then you cut pipe parts off so you have leftover bits.
Uh-huh.
And I just took some of those leftover bits, cut them into squares, and made one.
Yeah.
You know, and like that little tiny block that I had made just because I wanted to try a little block and I didn't know what I was going to do with it. And it sat on my bulletin board for a couple of years and I was like, oh, I'll make a pincushion Biscornu out of it.
Mm-hmm. And there you go.
Yeah.
Because, so yeah, I mean, you think
just two pieces of fabric. It doesn't. Yeah. You don't even have to do cross stitch.
Right. Yeah. No, it was. So. I have to say, it eliminated my hesitation over the thing. Because yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. When you had the collection out there, you could see those in a bowl sitting on a coffee table or. Great ornaments or any number of things. So.
Yeah, definitely put a string through it or a ribbon or whatever, and hang it on a tree. You can add tassels to the bottom. You can add a string of beads to the bottom.
Yeah.
I mean, you can do all kinds of embellishing and, you know, they can get fancy. I've seen some fancy ones.
And thanks to, I forgot the name, Pam at
Kitty
and Me.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So if you want some patterns, if you want to try it and you want some patterns, go to Etsy, Kitty and Me. Pam has a calendar, a 2021 calendar, and that's what Jennifer was using. And there's 12 different Biscornu patterns in the calendar. So all seasons. Because you did one, you had the fall one from last year, October, November, and then you did the Christmas one, and
Mm-hmm. I had November, December, January, and then I quickly stitched up February. Because I wanted to have, I had the January one, but I was like, I'm going to need one that's almost finished and then one that's just beginning, because sitting through all, it's too long, you know?
Right. Yeah.
So I needed to have two stages of project. So that's why I quickly did the February one.
Yeah. But that worked out great. Yeah. So if you want to try some Biscornu patterns, there's 12 of them sitting in a calendar at Kitty and Me. You can order that up and have at it. It's a good way to use scrap thread, stash cloth. You know, those little pieces you just know are useful somehow, and You hang on to them, and yeah, it's a good way to use it. So,
yep, I go through my boxes of bits. I have lots of fabric bits. And
yep.
I pull out the boxes. I'm like, all right, what's going to work?
Yep. Well, and those things, you know, those things also, what entered my mind was that's a good way if you want to experiment changing colors or trying different threads, because they're not very big projects. And so you could play around a little bit and you won't feel like you're in the middle of this giant project and then decide that the colors don't work or the threads don't work.
Right.
Yeah, it's a simple little thing, and actually small enough that if you hate it, you know, you just throw it away. You're not out anything. Yeah.
Give it away. Somebody might, you may not like it, but somebody else might, you know.
Right. Yeah.
Or you just toss it or whatever.
Yep.
Whatever you feel like doing.
Yeah, no, so that was really good. Yeah, thanks for doing that. It was
Yeah, thanks. It turned out, I watched it right after because I was really curious, like, how did it turn out, you know?
How bad was I?
I know, right?
Yeah.
I was like, oh, could they really see, you know? Because I couldn't quite tell. I'm like, I know they can see, but how well can they see? It was pretty good.
Yep.
I was like, all right, that was good.
Yeah, it worked out. So,
yeah.
Yay for that. So check it out if you're interested in giving that a try. Check it out, because Jennifer takes you from stem to stern and shows you how to stuff it, finish it off, put a button in the middle, the whole bit. So you'll get all easy to follow. Tonight, Jennifer, Beth, and I are just going to stitch and talk. We have a whole bunch of stuff that has just come up, you know, things to talk about. So we're just going to stitch and talk. So no guest, other than the three of us.
But that'll be fun, though.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just need that. It's like, we need some chatter time.
Yep. So that's what we're going to do. So if you have questions or comments or things that you're wondering about that we might help you with, bring them to the gathering, 8 o'clock Eastern time on the YouTube channel, and we'll just have an hour of chat and stitch. We will.
Yeah.
And sounds on good. Top of that, now, the giveaway... this week, tonight, will be three samplers from the Exemplar? I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
I never know how to say that.
Exemplar or something like
there
that?
There you go. That sounded more continental. Very good. We're going with you. So we have three of those. But then Amanda Rowe, who is known as the Solitary Stitcher, has a reproduction sampler that she did. Very nice one. Really, yeah, like I'm gonna kit it up and stitch it. It's Mary Jane Fry 1861. And she's made that available through her channels, but she made it available to us as a free download. So so there'll be three giveaways, but everybody will get a sampler or a chance to have a sampler if you want one. So I put it up on the website. So it's wetalkfiber.com/MJF1861. So Mary Jane Fry, MJF1861. So wetalkfiber.com/MJF1861. And you can just download that PDF chart and have yourself a little reproduction sampler, compliments of Amanda Rowe, the Solitary Stitcher. So take advantage of that. It was very, very kind of her to let us do that. Appreciate it.
Wow.
Yep. At Sharon Bruce putting us in touch, making that happen for us. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah, so wetalkfiber.com/MJF1861. You can download that sampler for free and let Amanda know if you enjoy it. And of course, post pictures as you stitch it. But nice little sampler, really nice. So we have that.
MJF, what was the numbers?
MJF. Mary Jane Fry, 1861.
1861.
Yep. So wetalkfiber.com/MJF1861.
Oh, cute.
1861. Yeah, huh? Is that all right
or what?
I just
looked at it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cute. Oh, that's adorable.
Yeah. Not a big giant thing. Yeah.
No. Awesome.
Yeah.
Very cute.
And your mind immediately thinks, oh, I could do it in this color or that color or any number of things. Yeah.
Yeah, you could totally so easy change the colors because it doesn't look like it's many.
No. No.
Where's the... Oh, look, it's like 6 colors.
Right. So you can easily play with that. Yeah.
Totally.
What's the size? I didn't even note what the size is.
Let me see. Okay. Design area, but what size of fabric is she using? It says it's 12, like 13 by 19, but I'm not seeing what fabric.
Oh, okay. Well.
It's 190 stitches by 270 stitches.
Okay, so that's not a big deal at all. Yeah.
No. Nope. I'm guessing that's probably a 14 count.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not saying the type of fabric. Well, it's not on that page.
Yeah, people can do the calculation. But anyway, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a fun one. So wetalkfiber.com/MJF1861, and that's compliments Amanda Rowe, the Solitary Stitcher. So thanks to Amanda for making that available to us. Very kind of her.
So do you have the picture in front of you?
Well,
the two little animals there at the bottom, they're looking kind of like rats, or are they cats squished down?
Squished cats or rats? Let me just call that up, because now you have piqued my curiosity. Squished cats or rats? I'm going to guess. Let's see here.
You, like, they don't. Maybe they were intended to be cats.
I'm going cats.
Think those are cats?
Yeah, I'm going cats. Those aren't rats. No.
They look like rats to me. I've had a lot of cats, and my cats don't look like that. So.
Okay. No, I'm going with cats on that one. Yeah.
Oh, no. All right.
Tail's too fluffy. Yeah.
Well, but it's a long tail.
Yes. I'm going with cats, because there's no way I want to mentally have a rat on my sample. So.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, now I'm going with that. But it's just, it's just really nice. And it doesn't, you know, it's a lot of vines with leaves, but pretty straightforward stitching. So, Yep, nice.
Very cute. I do like it.
Yes. So check that out. You'll find that you enjoy it, and the price is just right. Just right.
No, for sure, right?
Yep. And, of course, encourage you to... do it through one of our sponsors, Sassy Jacks, Needle in a Haystack. They'll fix you up. So, yeah. I know I have the linen to do it. And I probably have the thread. So.
Yeah. And I mean, like, even with those Biscor New, I think there was one or two that I didn't quite have the right colors. So I just picked something similar.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or like on the November one, I didn't have the Krynek or a Petite Treasure braid that matched, but I do have a little bucket that's got a bunch of different blending filaments. So I took two different colors of blending filament with one color of the thread, mixed it all together, and made my own.
And presto change-o, yes.
Yeah, and I didn't have to buy anything.
Yep.
And, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of
what you have thing.
Yeah, that's kind of my mentality. These projects, you know, at some point you get enough stuff, make it work. You know, find a way to make it work. Nothing wrong with buying new, but you got all this stuff sitting around, you know.
Yes. And when you're, you know, I used to not have enough money to buy even a complete set of stuff for a project. I would have to buy as I go because I just didn't have the extra money.
Yeah.
But then, you know, we moved here and I got extra money. And so then the quilting started and buying all the fabrics and stuff. And at one point it was just like, I still have that frugalness that's like, stop spending money. Look at what you have first.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, so, and growing up too, we were poor when I was young. I got free lunch through fourth grade.
Oh.
And we had to, you know, use what we had, and we were very frugal.
Yep.
And it's just ingrained. It's just still there. I love to buy new and stuff, but sometimes if I'm thinking about buying something new and I get this little itching and I start feeling really guilty and I just can't. And I don't. And I'm like, I can't do that because it's just too much.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. It's just, yeah.
Yep. Well, and this kind of stuff also falls under that category for me of if you get a gift certificate or have a little extra money, rather than buying a kit when you already have 15 of them,
mm-hmm.
go buy a yard of linen or a yard right. of Aida cloth or a set of threads that you're going to use regularly,
mm-hmm.
you know, and just or stick it away.
What tools do you need that you right. don't have that you keep going, oh, if I only had one of those, but oh, look how much it costs and right. I don't want to spend the money.
Yeah, because
right
yeah, you get a little extra money, a gift or something. The first thing you want to do is go buy a kit for some project. Well, you got enough of those, but
mm-hmm.
yeah, buy that stuff that is no big deal. It's like I describe it like buying a roof. You know, oh look at my new roof. Yeah, it looks like the last one. Thanks, but you know, go buy a yard of linen. You know, a really neutral, lighter color.
Yeah,
or
you
one
can
you
always
like.
Dye it.
Yep, and just. Put it away, and then when these, you know, Bisque Cornu comes up, haul it out. Cut it up, use it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then
yep, that's yeah. what I do too for my background fabric. I go through my little stash and I'm like, okay, what do I have? And like the January one, I stitched on a 40 count and I had this long skinny piece that was like the edge of something.
Mm-hmm.
And I barely had enough, you know, like, you right. know, I had the length, but then to cut it square, So I stitched on this tiny little piece of linen in hand, didn't mm-hmm. use a hoop ring because it was too small.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's yeah. a little tiny piece. It's no big deal.
Yep.
But I used, you know, a little scrap of what I had.
Yeah. See, yeah, that's just it. Yeah, just so for me, that's, you know, that's the kind of thing. Not a lot of fun to buy in general, but hey, you find it down the road, you go, boy, I'm glad I bought that yard of linen. Because, yeah, you know, middle of a winter, snowstorms, cold, don't want to go out, mm-hmm. want to start a new project, hey, haul out the piece of linen, haul out the piece of needlepoint canvas, cut it up, have at it. Yep.
So you know what I did recently is I was kind of looking through all of my charts and stuff. So I reorganized my charts and things into ones that had a piece of fabric in it or the fabric and threads, any materials, and then all the ones that are just the charts. And I separated them out.
Ooh.
So I can see, like, I'm like, if you're like, I want to start something new, but I don't want to have to spend any money. And I, you know, oh, this one already has the linen. All I need to do is look at the threads. And since I have so much DMC, and I really do like DMC preferably, then, you know,
see, that's a really good idea.
Yeah. So I have this whole little stack that's separate, insta-kits, like ones that are kits that I have as kits or that has the linen or maybe it has the floss. And it's, so it's mostly ready to go. And I don't have to buy stuff or look for stuff. It's kind of there and ready.
Hmm. That's good.
Yeah.
And then the other ones are just a stack of stuff that you can just sit down in a chair one night and look through and see if you like anything.
Mm-hmm. So you're like, okay, now.
Without threads falling all over. Yeah.
Right. So yeah, that way, like I said, if you want to start something new, but you probably wish I had something that everything's all together. Well, here's that stack of stuff right there.
Yep.
It's all together. Go for it.
Well, look at you. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Mine's all just kind of piled together.
Mine was in two or three different places. And I'm like, this is not, because I forgot about some of the stuff that was in one of the places. I'm like, wait a minute, I got stuff back there. So I got it all out. I did a redo because I don't like my stuff being all over the place. And you know what led to that? What led to that was I, you know, I used to only do one cross stitch piece at a time, and I would pull out, I have my big DMC cases, and then I would pull out all the things that I needed and put it into a smaller little uh-huh. plastic case. Well, when I started doing multiple projects a few years ago, I started pulling the colors for everything and putting it either in a Ziploc bag or in a little case. And then my DMC is spread out all over the place.
Yep.
So then when I started something else or I wanted, you know, I needed a DMC color, I'm like, oh, I can't find it. And you look in a couple places, but you forgot about another place where it could be. So you go buy a new one, right?
Yep.
So then it turns out that I had like three or four bobbinated DMCs, all of the same color, floating all over, plus skeins in my skein bag. I was like, no, enough of this, because that totally goes against my whole frugal nature. Drives me crazy. Like, I don't like it. So I went through and I pulled all my DMCs out of all my projects. I put them all back in the kits. And now if I'm working on like a little Biscornu, I'll just pull those two or three that I need. I'll do it and I'll put them back. Mm-hmm. Or like if I'm working on a project and it has lots of colors, I'm like, well, what color am I going to work on right now? So I look at it. I'm like, I'm going to work on this and this. So I'll go pull those two colors and I'll do those. And then when I'm done, I'll put them back.
Yep.
Because having all these multiples all over the place and spending that money, DMC is not cheap anymore. It's not 20 cents like it used to be.
Right. Yeah.
You know, when I started this hobby, DMC was like 20 cents. I mean, it was cheap. That's why I picked cross stitch, because it was cheap. So I was like, what's the cheapest hobby I can do?
Yeah.
And it's not anymore. And it just drove me crazy having it all over. And now I have this bag, my little extras bag has gotten very fat, and I actually had to get a whole separate bag to put all of the bobbinated ones that are extras.
All your duplicates, yep.
Yeah, I don't want my DMC little containers having multiples. I put the extras in the other bag, so when I run out of a color, I go to the bags. That's how I've always done it. I go and I look, do I have this as a spare? I look, and if I don't, then I go buy it.
Yep. Yeah, because that's how duplicates come to be.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't like that. It stresses me out. Something fierce.
Yep. No, like, that's happened to me too. I know I have this color. I know it's somewhere. And you go look. Oh, here it is in this kit. Oh, here it is in this kit. Well, oh, wait, I got four of them now. And it's crazy. Yep.
And you're just like, and that also you have to buy extra bobbins.
Right.
And it's just like no.
and not any of those kits is going to use a full skein. So it's like you're just swimming in, you know, 464. And it's just, dumb. Yeah.
Well, like when we got Spring Hill, I'm doing DMC. So what I did is I went through and I pulled all of my ones that I already have the colors, because some of them I have the colors already.
Mm-hmm.
So I pulled out those first, and then I checked to make sure that the dye lots match, because sometimes they're off.
Yeah.
They can be off, but I checked them. They're looking good. Now, if the dye lots didn't match, I'd look at how much of the color was being used, and I'd make a decision. If it's going to use the whole skein, if it's a lot, then I'll use the ones with the dye lot, you know.
Right, yeah.
Fuller skein.
But yeah, you do have to watch that. Yeah.
Up.
Yeah.
Yeah, you do have to pay, because I've had that happen before. Yeah. But, and then so that organization led to me finding these other things and reorganizing that part of my stash.
Look at you getting all in order here.
Well, I'm usually very organized. It may look untidy and there's little piles, but it's organized. I know where stuff is. I just don't have any room. This house is too small. I don't have enough closet space to put things away, you know?
Yep.
So, or I just have too many things.
I'm going to go with you don't have enough space.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's go with that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because the other one's no fun. So let's go with that one.
Yep.
Yeah. You don't have enough space. You need enough space for your stuff and then 20% more for growth. That's what you need.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That's bursting at the seams.
That's what we're going. That's what we're going with. We're not going with I have too much stuff. No. Because that's just no.
Yeah.
No good.
My husband would argue differently.
Yep. Well, all right. Now I got to. Yeah, I think so. That's a good plan. I'm going to go down and that's going to be my next when I have an organization fit. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to separate just charts from charts with kits. I guess really it is charts where you have the ground cloth. And if it's DMC, then those should not be in the kit. They should be in your DMC collection.
Right.
And if it's other threads, like if you use a lot of Averroes, then those threads should be with the silks and not, because that's, I see it coming. I've got, three reproduction samplers, all with silks, all on rings. Right. And I see that coming. Yeah, you know what that's going to be. I need to organize that and say, all right, this is all the, you know, all these silks right here, and this is what I have, or I'll end up, because you talk about not being cheap anymore. And,
yeah.
You know, silk never was, I don't think, but even more it's now. So to start duplicating and triplicating silks is, yeah.
Yep.
Stacking up some money. So that's a good plan.
And I do that with my variegated flosses, the fancy flosses too.
Mm-hmm.
Those are all in their own little case because I don't have a ton of them. Now I do have some kits that they're in the kits. They came with it, but I haven't gotten to them yet. So they haven't been processed.
Oh, yeah.
So, and by processing, I mean putting them on a bobbin.
Right.
Because I put them on a bobbin, and if they're already cut, you just kind of, you hold the end down and you put the other end over and you just wind it on, you know. Yeah. You can make it work.
Yeah.
And then I kind of tear the label to get it to a small where I can see what it is and see what the name is. And I tear the label and I wrap it on.
Oh, okay.
Then you remember. Because, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then I look. And sometimes I'll go and look in the kits. I'm like, well, do I already have this in this kit? Yep. Okay. Well, I'll use it. And if I need more later, then I'll buy it later.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yep. Little things like that, that keep you from having a whole bunch of money invested in stuff you already own.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Cause I've already got a lot of money invested in all my hobby.
Well, that, yeah. Take a number and stand in line on that one. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I know.
Yeah. Coming up February 3rd. Now, we've had a bit of a break with April and the Embroiderers Guild Gallery in New South Wales. Mm-hmm. So we're going to resume the monthly tours on the 3rd. So Wednesday night, the 3rd at 8 o'clock, our regular Wednesday show. April will be with us. I tried to connect with her ahead of this. Sometimes I actually do plan to find out who the artist was going to be, but have not heard from her. Sometimes, with the time change and stuff, it takes a couple of days to hear from her. So I've not heard from her. So I don't really know who the artist is, but we'll be resuming that on the 3rd. And the plan is, as long as they're doing exhibits, to do one the first Wednesday of every month. So so that will be back the 3rd, 8 o'clock. So mark that on your calendars. Then
that's next week.
Is
that's it? Next Wednesday. Yeah. Like, cause I had to pull up my calendar. I don't even know what day it is.
Really? It is?
Yeah.
Okay. So next Wednesday, April will be with us to give us a tour at the Embroiderers.
That's next week.
I did not realize that. Wasn't Christmas just yesterday?
I know. Right.
I think it was. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, okay. That just wrecked everything. I thought we had at least a couple weeks ahead of time. Anyway, so next Wednesday, join us. April will be here. We'll promote. A couple people had asked when you were doing the one for Wednesday night about how to get connected with our live shows. The best way, we promote them on Facebook, and we promote them through the Fiber Talk Instagram account. So you can follow those. But if you want to make it really easy, go to YouTube and look up Fiber Talk and subscribe. When you subscribe, to the right is a little bell icon. And if you click on that, there are actually three bell icons. One gives you notice of everything we do. And then one is some hit and miss. And then one is minimal. I don't know what it is. Just click on the one that's everything. And then you'll get an email notification when we're going to do a live show. That's the way to do it. And that's, you know, it's like anything else. Subscribe to that to get the live shows. And then if you are one who listens to podcasts through a podcast app or listens to the podcasts instead of watching the YouTube version, listen to it, which is the way most people do, use a podcast app and subscribe. Then you get it automatically and you don't have to think about it. And yeah, that's really the best way.
Is that how people get notified when we did like our little pop-up test?
Yeah.
If they're on the,
The
it'll be like Fiber Talk went live and they're like, oh my God.
Yeah. Cause yeah, like for Jennifer's thing, we did the day before, we did a little test and several people signed on, and were kind enough to help us do a little testing. So we appreciate that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, if you subscribe, then every time we do something live, on YouTube, or anytime we post on YouTube, then you'll get notified. It really is the best way.
Right.
Then you don't have to think about it. Because somebody wrote to me, yeah. I keep missing the live shows. And, well, are you subscribed? And she was subscribed to the podcasts and did not realize she also had to subscribe to YouTube. So I helped her with that. And then she was in business. So, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
To get the live shows, you have to subscribe. That's separate from the podcast because that's straight YouTube stuff. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So next Wednesday, much to my shock and horror, January is over and February will be here. So join us for that. Then a couple days ago, I did a show, a regular podcast show with Emily Ferris. And Emily is from the UK and is a very talented thread painting embroidery designer. Very talented. And just had a terrific conversation with her. And if you wonder who she is and you get Inspirations Magazine, Emily's project, one of her more recent ones, is on the cover of the latest Inspirations Magazine. And you can read a little bit about her. We had so much fun in the conversation, in the show. So that's going to be one on the 21st. That's going to be one of those where we'll post the podcast probably Saturday night, the 20th. And then Emily will be with us live at 2:00 Eastern time on YouTube. And we'll get to talk with her live and see her her projects and just kind of meet her. She's just delightful. So that'll be the 21st, 2:00 Eastern time on the YouTube channel. And we'll talk about it more than once between now and then. But Emily's just fantastic, and you'll really enjoy her. And, yep, self-taught, built her a little business from scratch and is cooking right along. Really, really a good success story. And a real treat to talk with her. So that's coming up on the 21st. We're going to have that 1-2 punch kind of thing, podcast and live show all on the same day.
So. Oh, nice.
Now, do have to, last Wednesday I mentioned that Karen Kluba, that her daughter was having difficulty. Her daughter lived in England, and Karen was on her way over there. And to see her daughter, she and her husband were, who was struggling with her health. And Karen got coronavirus and was, her daughter's not doing well. And she was not able to see her daughter. I'm not sure how that worked out, but she announced just a few days ago that her daughter passed away.
Yeah.
And so if prayer is part of what you do, pray for Karen and her family. And I believe there are two grandchildren. Rachel, her daughter, had two children. I believe it was two children. And of course, a husband. And so pray for that family and Karen and her husband. Most difficult to bury your children. I can't imagine that. So,
yeah, we went through that with my sister, and it's terrible. Yeah.
So, keep Karen in your prayers and just feel terrible for her. That whole family. I mean, that's just miserable. So,
oh, yes. It takes a long time to heal.
Yeah.
If ever, really, truly.
I was going to say, I bet it's never. Yeah, the long time
you're
is never.
Always, yeah. It's always there. You're always kind of scarred in some way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Real shame. So, sad thing for Karen and her family. So, keep her in your prayers. And on the positive side of Karen Kluba is we have our Spring Hill Stitch Along that you can go to Needle and Haystack. WeTalkFiber.com/Spring Hill, and you can still get kits. Kathy will help you with kits. It's all right there to order. And I can still say a week later that if you get the kit and put one stitch in, you'll be ahead of me. So,
because you're working on that, Hannah.
I am. But now if you put one stitch in, you're going to be several hundred behind Jennifer because she's, Spring Hill is flying right along for you. Yeah.
Yes. So I've done that first band that I showed.
Right.
Then just below that, there's those two little kind of small bands that are like, they're on the same level, but they're split because the tree comes up in between.
Mm-hmm.
So I did those two little things. Now I have moved above and I'm working on that big thick vine that the flowers hang on.
Oh, okay.
The big one, the big one that goes across the middle, not the little one that snakes around the top.
Yeah.
So I'm on the big one.
You're cooking.
I'm doing the green, the middle green. And then once I get that one done, then the outside green, you don't even have to look at the chart. You just stitch it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because it just outlines.
Well, so. Yours is beautiful, I have to say.
And thank you.
You know, and that's it, it. Well, I've said this the last time that we talked about this. You know, once again, you know, everybody get we. Well, I'm guilty as anyone, getting wrapped up in silks and other threads. Good old DMC is just stunning every time.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Good old reliable.
I love DMC.
And if you're wondering,
I mean, the silks and stuff are pretty, but
yeah. If you're wondering, all you have to do, I think, is the alphabet, and you can get ahead of Beth. So.
Yeah, Beth showed she finished the alphabet.
Yes.
And I just saw today, she finished all the alphabet, and I think she's starting. No, that was Jeanette Dodd has done the alphabet and is starting on the green and has actually done one of the flowers.
Wow.
Yes, I saw her post today.
Okay, I'm the all-time slacker then.
So right. She's even, well, yeah, she's kind of ahead of me.
Yeah.
Or we're kind of tied. I don't know. Well, depends on how you feel about alphabets versus flowers. Whatever.
And the hashtag is FT for Fiber Talk. FT Spring Hill is the hashtag. So share that on Instagram and or Facebook so that we can see your progress. And
yeah,
lots of people stitching this thing. So join in. You can still do that. Kathy will fix you up with a kit. And she has that little accessory pack, which is pretty neat, that she makes with her laser cutter. Fix you right up. So all that's good stuff. So, fun stuff.
So I had a thought about your, you know how you were having your needlepoint dilemma? You're like, I want to do Spring Hill, but I also want to do some needlepoint real bad.
Yes.
And you've got your Dawn to Dusk that you want to start, but you also have your Royal Garden.
Right.
Well, you could try to do with those, do the thing with Spring Hill, like 2 hours. And then just switch them out.
Yes.
Like, or 2 days, you know, on these 2 days, I'm going to work on Spring Hill. Okay, now I'm going to put that away. And on these 2 days, I'm going to work on Royal Garden. Okay, and now I'm going to put that away. And on these 2 days, I'm going to work on Dawn to Dusk. Unless that's too frazzled for you.
No, it's not. Actually, okay. I mean, I would do well. I would do well to have some kind of a plan like that.
Mm-hmm.
But then I struggle to keep it up.
Okay. Do you stitch every day, or
no?
Because I know you have a real job.
Yeah. And, no, I do not. No.
Okay.
That's the problem. I might go a couple of days and stitch, and you know, stitch, you know, 4 or 5 days, and then there would be a couple of days where I don't, and then I'll pick at it a little bit. It depends. And because you take, for instance, this weekend, I mean, I've been working really hard on my cycling this winter, because I'm trying to get myself to a new level of strength and speed. And so I've been working really hard. So this past weekend, I stitched Saturday, but I also rode 58 miles, and this is all on a virtual trainer. So it's still very real miles on very real hills. They're just on a trainer that responds to an online software program.
Right.
And so I rode 58 miles in 2 days and climbed 3 mountains, and it was like 4,000 feet of climbing within those 58 miles. Well, I'm here to tell you that when the football came on, my normal Sunday plan is to sit down and watch football and stitch.
Right.
Well, I sat down in that recliner, and I sat there the whole time. My legs were, it was like, no.
You were over.
I'm done, you know. And so, see, that's what happens to me. And but I'm not giving up the cycling. You know, I'm not going to slack off on cycling, because I'm kind of on a mission here.
And, right.
So.
Well, once you get, your body will recover. You're just kind of in the beginning stages, it sounds like. So you're going to suffer a little.
Right.
Until your body gets used to it and reaches, you know, catches up with your desire.
Yeah. I'll get there. So, yeah. But that's what happens to me. It's like Sunday was just, no, just never mind. I'm not going to, you know, because I know what I'll do is I'll sit there and I'll be half paying attention and I'm tired and I'll make a mistake and then I'll just, yeah. So, but then Monday night I was right back at it. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, you know, that's plus I do have that full-time job and
yes,
it does command some hours. Yes. Yep.
Yeah. Because, you know, like, I'll work on this for a while, but then I'll be tired of sitting in this chair, so I'm going to go then sit in my other chair and work on my other project.
Yeah.
Which I've been doing the, for my WIPCO, my second one was the 12 Berries of Christmas by Erica Michaels.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm doing number four right now, the Four Calling Birds. And yes. I'm almost done with that one. I just have to finish the few little trees and then put the little heart in the number four, and I'm done. So I could possibly finish that today.
Yep. Well, more power to you. I have to say, more power to you. I just, you know, so that's, yeah, I mean, that's just generally my problem. I just don't have consistent time where I'm able to focus on that. And so, you know, a couple of days will go by and then I'll have a really good string. And, but I am only 3 2/3 motifs away from finishing Hannah. So if I can get some good hours in, if I get some good hours in this week and next week and weekend, Yep, we'll have it. That'll be cool.
Yeah.
Yep. Really liking it. Okay, you put on the list today. Slow stitching movement.
Right.
I don't get. I don't get it. What is that?
So you know how you were talking with Jennifer.
Because I'm a slow stitcher, so I go, well, how's that different from what I do every day?
Okay. Well, this started when I was quilting, and I've been here 14 years. So I've been quilting for maybe 13. So, you know, when I first started quilting, it was all about the machine and you're sewing on the machine and you know, how fast can you get the quilt done was really what it was. And everybody was all about speed and getting it done and machine, machine, machine. Well, then you get over machined and you start feeling tired of always being so speedy. And this guy, Mark Lipinski, he's a quilter, and I think he was on a show with Alex Anderson, who's also a quilter. This is, you know, 10 years ago or so, and he was talking about this and how he wanted to get away from the speediness and not being on the machine all the time, and how he wanted to do what he calls slow quilting or slow stitching, where you're doing stuff by hand and you're maybe doing English paper piecing or even piecing by hand, like sewing the whole quilt by hand.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of, I was reminded of it when you were talking to that Jennifer Coulson. Coulson, yes, from Australia. And she was talking about doing the stream of consciousness sewing.
Yes.
And just, and how her groups of ladies liked to just come to the store and there's no machines and they just stitch and talk and getting back to more of the old fashioned way of sewing and handwork and stuff. And that's, you know, and I had gone through that where I was all about the machine for a while. And then I really started craving my needle and thread in my hands again. Uh-huh. And that's, you know, I went back and I started doing some more cross stitch again. And that's when I also started hand piecing my quilts and hand quilting my quilts and doing embroidery on my quilts. Like I made this little mini quilt. That is all kind of these flower things. It was from Gwen Marston. She does this liberated quilt making where you, none of your points and stuff match. You just kind of sew your bits together, but she has a method to it. So I did this little project where I just hand sewed everything together. And then I used Purl 5 and made the handles for the buckets.
Mm-hmm.
And then I even sewed on some buttons that are flower buttons. And then even the backing, instead of sewing on a separate binding, I just folded the backing over and hand stitched it down.
Yeah.
And it's really cute.
Okay. I get that for quilting. I get that for quilting. Mm-hmm. And I've heard of people talk about slow stitching for needlework. So how does that work?
Right.
I mean, is it just,
I don't know.
See, that's what I don't get.
It just kind of brought it to mind.
Oh, okay.
And her stream of consciousness stitching where you just kind of sit and stitch like your background, all of, instead of dreading your basket weave background, it can go into the stream of consciousness stitching instead, like change your mind about it.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore it is no longer a chore. It is something enjoyable or.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. Cause I like that stream of consciousness stitching and I think I'm going to try that 100-day thing that Beth dragged me into.
Right.
Hashtag FT100Day2020/21. I think I'm going to try that by doing stream of consciousness stitching.
Right.
And do that, because rather than tying a project to it, just do that, because I think I can gain a lot of skill without a lot of effort and without feeling like I have, like I'm working on a project or have to work on a project. It's just doodle cloth that you just draw on and practice. So
yeah,
you know, I can see that. I can see that. But, you know,
I guess that's kind of how, like, if I want to do what I consider stream of consciousness, like where I don't have to follow a pattern or really think hard, I'll find something that I'm either applicating down, or I'll find something that I'm hand quilting where the line's already drawn and you just have to follow the line and just kind of sew, but not think.
Yeah.
Or pull out one of the needlepoint projects that I have that has, you know, do the background.
Yeah.
Like that fill in part on Dawn to Dusk,
mm-hmm.
you know, and use that as like my slow stitching or stream of consciousness, you know, meditative stitching, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. Yeah. They all kind of start to blend into one thing, don't they?
Yeah. That's kind of what it struck me is, like, I understand the stream of consciousness is, well, it's just doing whatever. It doesn't have to be making stuff. It's what you want to do.
Right.
Because if you start putting demands on it, like, well, if you have to make things, you have to do things. It's like, well, then that's not relaxing a stream of consciousness for me. That's stressing me out. You know, like.
Right. Yeah. Know. Well, that's what appeals to me about this stream of consciousness is just that. Because I am going to do it. I'm going to do it for surface embroidery just to try and develop those skills and just take, you know, various stitches. You know, I'll just draw a line on there, or like I said last week, a portion of a letter, and I will just practice stitching that and just develop a skill, knowing that it doesn't matter because it's not part of a project and I'm not going to get better at it as I go and then wish I'd gone back and started, you know, to where I first started. This will just be pure practice. And so I think I'm going to do that on the 100 day, because for me to that I think I can pull off, because then I'll only know, I know, all right, if I just sit down for 10 minutes, I can do it.
And put it right next to your lounge chair.
Right,
your
I know.
There's... Put it there so that you don't have to get, you're not sitting down and going, oh yeah, I have to get up, but it's over there and I don't want to get up.
Yep.
No, you put it there. Put it in the chair. So you have to move it and put it on your lap before you sit down.
There it is. Force, yeah, okay. All See? Right. Yep.
I mean, nobody else sits in that chair, no animals. Well, you don't have any pets anymore.
No. That's a good plan right there. That's where it's going to stay, right in the chair. I sit down, I do it. Yep. Okay.
Yeah.
Good plan. So
then you have to make an effort to put it away from you instead of keeping it.
Right. It'll be on my fanny hoop thing.
Fanny stand thing. Yeah.
So putting it away, I'll just put it under my thigh and there it is. Yep. Okay.
Yeah.
I have a plan. That starts the 31st. So as we've already determined, that's next week. Four days.
Because Monday is the 1st and I have a dentist appointment. So.
Okay. So,
I remembered.
So that date that was a long way away is coming right up too. Man.
I know. And like, I thought about that 100-day project thing, but that's, so instead, you know how I did the witchy stitchy thing in October?
Mm-hmm.
And that's with this embroidery.com. It's an online quilt shop, and I think it's in person too. Donette something or other is the lady who runs this shop. But she's doing a I love to stitch thing for February. And so it runs from the 1st to the 28th, where you post your progress every day. And I remember when I did the witchy stitchy, by the end of the month, I was done posting every day. Like I'd had it. I was ready for it to be over. Because the pressure of having to post every single day, it's fine at first, but then I get weary of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, so 100 days of, I know I wouldn't finish it because I'd want to do something different.
Yeah.
And then I would feel guilty for not finishing it. And I try not to put that kind of stuff on myself because, you know, I already take anxiety and depression meds and I don't need to add to it.
Right.
So.
Well, see, that's the thing. That's the thing. And that's where I am. I'm also sensitive to that because I had that stocking I've talked about in the past that I did for our son.
Yes.
That took 28 years because I kept putting it off and picked at it and put it off and picked at it. But it was every Christmas there was that pressure to get that done.
Right.
And when I finished that, I swore to myself, I will never be under pressure to do needlework again. I don't care what it's for, who it's for, how it is. I will never put myself under that kind of pressure because it literally just sucked the fun out of it.
Yeah. And then, you know, if you're already someone who has depression or anxiety, it just adds to it.
Yeah.
And, you know, it just, yeah, I've discovered that putting too large of a constraint of time on me to do something, it's not good for me. I can't do that to myself.
Yeah.
You know, I can do small bits, but big chunks like that, that's too much. That's 100 days. That's almost a third of the year.
Right.
It's a long time.
Well, I think it's worth a challenge knowing that I only have to just do a few minutes.
Right.
You know, if I talk to myself and say, all right, even if it's just 5 minutes, at least I have done it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how good I'll be at posting.
See, you know, the posting is what
one more thing,
I like to post, but there are some days when I'm just not feeling it and I just don't want to post.
Yeah.
You know? And by the end of 31 days, I was getting there. and the 100 days of posting every day, Plus, I don't want my Instagram feed clogged up with the same exact thing every day.
Yeah.
That bothers me. I like to have a little bit of variety on my Instagram feed.
Yep.
I mean, you know.
Right. Well, I'm gonna go for it.
Go back and delete it. But
I'm gonna go for it. I think I'm gonna go for it.
That would be good. And of course, that might help get you started into doing, you know, if you do like 15 minutes and you might be like, I'm still feeling stitchy. Maybe I'll go over and do a little bit of Spring Hill or do a little bit of Dawn to Dusk. It might spur that on.
Right, right.
Yeah.
A big part of what would spur it on is to not sit in the recliner. I know that.
Yeah. Well, you know, can't you bring your stitching somehow over to your recliner and do it there?
Yeah, I can, but... Yeah.
I mean, I have multiple places where I stitch. I have my comfy chair. I have my sit up straight chair so that I move myself around.
Yes.
But it's always ready for, it's always at hand for me to start working on it.
Yeah. Well, I set up my system, my table and my storage so that it would all stay in one corner. So I don't want to get into that practice of having it in another location because it's.
I do have my needlepoint all in one spot.
Okay.
The cross stitch is easier to move. The needle point, well, and the cross stitch, it's on the frames. That's basically where the needle point is too.
Yeah, yeah.
But the in-hand cross stitch or the crochet or whatever else, that can move around.
Yeah, I don't want to start that. But I mean, for the 100-day thing, though, have that in the recliner. I can see that working, but it's got to be something where it's a, you know, hoop, stand, thread, pair of scissors, and that's it. I can't be having multiple colors because I just know how that'll go, and pretty soon I'll have a nest all around my recliner. You know how it is.
And, you mean like my nest? That I have?
Yeah. And I'm not doing that. I have a corner for all that, and that's where it's staying. So.
Well, just pick a thread that you want to play with, you know.
I think
pick
I can do
crazy,
that.
Crazy variegated thing or whatever you feel like you're in the mood for that you're like, or even pick threads that you're like, I don't know when I'd ever use this. Well, use it for your play.
Well, that's exactly the threads that it's going to be. I'll never use this in a million years. All right, we're wasting it right here.
You do also have to like it. Otherwise, it'll turn you off from doing it. So you have to balance that maybe.
No, I think I can focus. I think I can focus on the process and the learning part and ignore the color. Yeah. I think I can easily do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't get so wrapped up in that.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not one who, I hate that color, so I'll never stitch with it. It doesn't bother me.
No.
I find it easy to ignore. If it's part of what the overall thing is and it makes it work, then it doesn't bother me. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Well, that's one thing that I kind of learned in quilting is sometimes it may not be your favorite color, but you need it to balance out the other colors, and it serves a purpose.
Right.
So you learn to like it. And yeah. then you end up, you know, like yellow was mine. I did not like yellow at all, but now I like yellow.
Oh.
And, you know, certain yellows work in certain areas and you kind of learn about yellow.
Yeah.
I learned a lot about yellow quilting. It's amazing, you know?
Mm. Yeah, no, I don't get hung up on that stuff. Never have, so.
Mm-hmm.
I think I can do that. And I think you gave me the one thing that I need. Put it in the recliner. All right, that when I plop my butt down there, it's hard. I got to move it, so I might as well use it. Yep.
Yeah, okay. There you go.
All right. You got to move it. You might as well use it. All right, I'm up for that. Okay. a plan is coming together.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
And it has to quickly because the 31st is Sunday. Jeez.
Yeah.
I can't believe this is out of all of this discussion. That's the one thing that's sticking with me. January is over. Jeez.
Man. I know. It's coming up quick.
What happened?
I know.
Yep. All right. I think that's going to be it. Look at us.
All right.
Look at us.
Yeah. Has it been the whole time? I don't even know.
It's been 55 minutes. Yep.
Wow.
We're done.
All right.
Sunday. Oh, Sunday. Do join us Sunday for Hazel Blomkamp.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Do join us Sunday for Hazel Blomkamp. What a conversation. Of course, she's just brilliant anyway, but what a fun lady. Fun lady, really, really knows her stuff, as you can imagine. We had so much fun talking to her. So join us Sunday. Our guest is Hazel Blomkamp. Just a real treat. Great lady. Had a lot of fun with her. So that's nice. The Sunday thing. And then, as we have learned, a week from tonight, we will be back in Sydney, Australia with April. So,
yep.
I really thought we had 2 weeks ahead of that.
I know. I had to pull up the calendar and look because I'm like, it's getting close. Like, when is that?
Next week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There we have it. So join us tonight for just chit chat, 8 o'clock Eastern time on the YouTube channel. Subscribe so you get to notice. Yep. It'll be fun. Thanks, Jennifer.
Yep. Thanks. It was fun.
Thanks to everybody for listening.